With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom, reach new audiences, and bring important information to the public free of charge. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom and donate today. Simply go to tntradio.live. A natural nurse in a toxic world. Kate Shimarani on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Well, top of the day to you. It's midday. This is TNT Radio Live, and I am your host for the next hour, Kate Shimarani, and we're going to be exposing medical crimes in tyrannical times. Well, you can email me your stories where your loved ones appear to have had their lives shortened and their deaths hastened. Kate Shimarani at tntradio.live. I want to hear all about it. Now, what's actually happening here? We appear to have a tyrannical government with the police acting as agents of the state. And our media are nothing more than pimps for the lying liars of lies. So what's actually going on? We have a sister dying being pushed through, and many of our so-called politicians are voting for this. Canada now states that 3% of their population that are dying by having their lives cut short, most likely on the end of a syringe. And what's included in the things that can actually be euthanized? You've got dementia, prolonged grief, ADHD, autism, Alzheimer's. Now, 83% of the elderly that went in to our hospitals and scare homes under the care of the National Homicide Service all received end-of-life drugs, which was midazolam, and they didn't come out. It was their final destination. Now, if we go back in time to 6th century BC, we saw that the Spartans, they left their weaker children, their deformed children, they left them at the edge of the shore to be washed away into the ocean. And they did this so that they would have a more sturdy generation. And it was designed to also decrease the amount of women. Now, the program created a population more prone to violence and aggression. It led to racism and classism. And I'm just going back. This is 6th century BC. The inferior were kept in poverty-ridden colonies on the outskirts of town as to dilute and weaken the Spartan gene pool. And if you just look now about our elderly and any working man, really, they can't afford to pay their gas and electric. Food prices are going through the roof. And what will that do? It will weaken our population. Yes, indeed, folks. We are now in Brave New World, and we appear to be living in the Savage Reservation. And utopia appears to be only for those who've got the dosh. And in the UK, that looks like it's our mainly Indian government. So what happened to these people? It came with some very interesting results. Social inequality, and the wealthy children were healthier and the poor were unhealthy. The wealthy felt superior, feeling devoted to their society and values. And this led to more political instability. And it actually led to an increase in mental health problems. Is that sounding familiar? It also led to people feeling unworthy and unqualified for membership into that utopian society. Sparta prioritized the most powerful army. And as a result, women's rights were marginalized. So for all you biological women out there, I say that because I'm one, are you feeling marginalized? And what actually it led to was more tuberculosis, more cancer, a very unhealthy gene pool. And that's exactly what happened, and eventually was kind of their downfall. Now, if we go back to another time in history, which we're not allowed to mention because everyone starts to get a bit anally twitchy about it, when we mentioned the Third Reich and what happened with the rise of Hitler and onwards from 1933, what's not often mentioned is the fact that they killed more of their own people before they started on everyone else, than the French did in the entire French Revolution. It's called the Reign of Terror. Over 70,000 crumbs compared with how many they've killed in the UK under the guise of end-of-life care. It's actually over 6.6 million since 2011 in the UK. So how did Hitler's people do it? Well, it was the people that were entrusted to care for them. So they didn't want the elderly because they were costly. They were really, you know, not worth looking after. Useless eaters, really, one would say, as is documented in the Committee of 300. So they guillotined them in the town halls. They literally chopped their heads off. And they also took the disabled and did the same. There was also a very young girl who just happened to be handing out leaflets with her brother. I believe she was 17, a dissident. She was also guillotined. They took the disabled children, the disabled adults, and it was actually the nurses of the Third Reich who did this. And how did they kill them? They killed them using a concoction of drugs, sounding a little bit familiar, folks, to morphine and midazolam. They starved them. It's also sounding familiar to what happened to our elderly under the guise of end of life, particularly during recent times. The mask is off. They had all their food and water and essential medication removed. If that's your anti-clotting drug or your insulin, I would hasten to guess that you're going to hasten your death as well. And they also would put them outside and they would be left to die of exposure. One nurse was found guilty over 30 years later of the murder of over 5,000 children. So what's actually happened in the UK? If we go back to 2016, Public Health England, on the 18th, 19th and 20th, Jeremy Hunt was Health Secretary at that time, and he signed off a document. And Jeremy Hunt is now our Chancellor of the Exchequer. That document is a preparedness document in the event of an Asian respiratory virus, and it showed in that document, 2016, exercise sickness, that there was indeed a lack of intensive care beds, PPE gear, oxygen. They didn't do anything about this, folks. So they identified this but did nothing. Now, we had Oliver Letwin, now in the House of Lords, was Minister of Preparedness. Yes, we have ministers that get paid lots of money to do nothing about what they identify. Actually, shall we call the House of Lords the House of Frauds from now on? I really think we should, because we are friends. It is Sunday. And we have Lady Moan, incidentally. She took 26 million for supplying substandard PPE gear that was dangerous, and she's currently under investigation. Lady Moan, I'd stick to selling bras if I were you. Actually, she did have a company that made bras, and maybe we should use those bras now as masks. Maybe a double D cup over your face would be more useful than the masks they expected everyone to wear to stop this so-called pandemic. So between 2015 and 2020, there were 10 of these preparedness documents. They never addressed the issues. And when questioned, Oliver Letwin said on BBC Radio 4 in 2022, we were more focusing on Brexit. Brexit, never mind your elderly, nobody cares. So exercise sickness had over 955 people involved. Jeremy Hunt, Oliver Letwin, police officers, Every Hospital, the Department of Health and Social Care, and all the councils. Sir Christopher Wormwald authorised the report and supplied it to Jeremy Hunt. They knew about it. And it states in this document, are you hanging on to your croissants, folks? Get ready. Sacrifice the elderly if the NHS became overwhelmed. Sacrifice the elderly. Now, if you think, oh, that's not me. That's not me. I'm not old yet. I'm 57 years old and old is 60. They dropped it to 60 and the recent documents drop it down to anybody with breathing problems over 18 can be put on end of life. So trust me, we're all in this together, but not the government. They're not. So what did we have? Did we have an overwhelmed NHS? I don't think so. I saw lots of empty wards on video cameras. I saw dancing nurses and doctors on TikTok videos. They were receiving food parcels. They were receiving discounts everywhere. I would even go as far as to say a lot of those nurses looked like they could have done without having a few meals. There was many, many nurses that were overweight. They should have danced more, broke sweat. By April 8th, 2020, 25,000 elderly had already been removed out of the hospitals into the scare homes. And it was confirmed by James Bullion. He was the president of the Association of Directors of Adult Social Services. In an interview with Sarah Montague, he stated that he'd already moved these people. And they eventually moved 80,000 out of the hospitals into the care homes. And those elderly came with £3,300, I believe, on top of their care home fee and a one-off payment for them to be taken. Regardless of whether you believe in COVID or not, they were moved even if they had it into care homes, which stated they didn't have it. And what we saw was a guideline used and a blanket do not resuscitate. So regardless of whether these patients had agreed to it, whether their power of attorney had agreed to it, they were immediately to be put on a do not resuscitate. That means no one's going to jump on their chest and attempt to save them. There was a guideline called NG159, which came in March 2020, and they lowered the criteria for end-of-life assessment. And I'm going to be talking about that in a minute with my guest. On March 25th, 5 days later, that criteria was dropped again. You only need to be mildly frail to be put on end of life. That means you can be digging your garden, but if you can't get the spade in to dig a dirty great hole, possibly your own grave, you're classed as mildly frail. You'll have all your food, water and essential medication removed and you'll be put on end of life. So they've said that mild dementia, if you've just been diagnosed with having dementia, but you could still be holding down a full-time job, you are immediately put into category 5. And that means you can just be put on end of life care because you've got that diagnosis in your notes and you pitch up with a little bit of flu. And this has all gone on. Some reports are stating that the elderly in Italy were simply just left to die. They weren't given any food or water or anything. They were just left there to die. I say this to the doctors and nurses who saw this happening. If you said nothing, you're complicit in a crime. Why not just put a pillar over their face and do it the same way? Because if you're injecting a patient with bolus doses of benzodiazepines and opioids, and I'm sorry, but your excuses of, it's being kind, they're not suffering. These patients were unconscious when they were injected with more. And for anyone who's had pain, you can't sleep through pain. So they weren't in pain now, were they? So I'm not listening to your bleating lies. I would go as far as to say that, this whole thing about don't touch them, don't touch these patients, don't go near them, the 6 foot apart. It was a little bit like with the plague. It was like saying that this pandemic was a plague. No one was allowed burials. No one was allowed funerals. They weren't allowed to go and see their loved ones when they were dying. It was just literally bag, tag and burn. Bring out your dead. So then we saw in April 3rd, NG163, and the killing continued. But I think it's time now. I think I should bring on my guest because he is a medical researcher. And we can go into all of this in more detail because I'm going to keep saying this to you people. This is not getting any better. This is getting worse. It's a funnel. We are all in the funnel. And the criteria for being put on end-of-life care is getting smaller and smaller and younger and younger. And there are many, many things happening all around the world. The pension age is rising. You are still paying the same amount, but your expected lifespan is dropping. So they're making sure that you're not going to collect your pension. You are going to literally be working till you drop. They're going to be getting richer and they're going to be finishing you off by using the National Homicide Service. So just before we go to our guest, I just want to remind everybody what we're talking about today. We are talking medical crimes in tyrannical times and what's happening right now in the UK. We've got Hamza up in Scotland who wants to bring in 40-week abortions and sex selection abortions. We've got all our food in the UK under the Genetic Technology Precision Act, Breeding Act 2023, just been passed by this king, not my king, Charles, and they're going to GMO all plants and animals. What could possibly go wrong? We've got immigrants coming in, and they're now being put onto army bases. These are fighting age young men. I don't see any children. Their luggage carries to them later. It's all delivered later. I don't see any women. I just see these very fit men with nice haircuts. What is going on? We've just been told that the fifth booster is now coming, the COVID booster for our old and vulnerable. And keep in mind, folks, all of the doctors went into the scare homes and gave them pneumonia, COVID booster, flu shot and shingle shot in the autumn and winter. And then everyone's asking why they're all getting sick now. Anyone would think they were trying to kill them. I'm just saying. We've got the Daily Mail newspaper from 2012 stated by a very prominent doctor that 130,000 elderly were being murdered in the hospitals. And of course, that tallies in with what I've said about the 2011 palliative care funding review, which we're going to be discussing in a minute. And also, we've got Spermageddon. Yes, fellas, put your hand down your shorts, do a sharp cough, and see if you really do have any testes in there, because we're going to need you. They say that the sperm count is going to be dropping so much that very soon there aren't going to be any more babies. So what is literally going on? It looks to me like this is eugenics. And they sometimes dress it up in a fancy outfit called genomics or epigenetics. But you can absolutely bet your last dollar, because you're not going to have any soon, that CRISPR technology is going to be testing all babies. And should they have anything like even dyslexia that they are saying is genetic, absolute poppycock, they've got an injection for that, a messenger RNA injection for that. So, you know, we will finish on something good. I'm kind of giving you a doo-doo sandwich here, but I'd like to bring on Stuart Wilkie, medical researcher from the past. Stuart, good midday to you.
How are you doing, Jake? Yeah. Great introduction.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
What's
really happening here is modern eugenics. Sir Francis Galton was a mathematician, so we'll go straight to the maths. In this country, you've just used the example from the Daily Mail there. The actual death rate back in that time, in 2011, was 470,000, but this included people that were already being killed on the Liverpool care pathway. And for people that don't know, this is the same concoction of drugs that has been used throughout, and the same methodology that's been used throughout COVID for apparently treating a respiratory disease. Starvation, dehydration, frigidation through leaving them out to freeze during the winter with all the windows open and no clothes on. And then, if that doesn't actually kill them, then they will give any concoction of opioids, which can, normally morphine and midazolam. And midazolam is a benzodiazepine, but you can also add lorazepam into that, which is Ativan in America. Or you can have clonazepam, which is what the French use to kill their elderly.
Stuart, may I just ask? This is sounding very familiar. Is this not what the Nazis did?
It is extraordinarily familiar, and a lot of the drugs have been known for decades to have this effect and to hasten death. But what's happened in this period of time is it's gone from what was a natural death rate of well under 1,000 a day, well under 7,000 a week, to over now, we're looking at 14,473 per week, 2,055 per day. Now, this is in England and Wales.
2,055 patients per day in England and Wales are being euthanized. Well, they're being involuntary euthanized, because, of course, euthanasia is illegal in the UK. So 2,055 patients per day are having their lives terminated. That's a minimum. And as I understand it, if they go beneath that, they get penalized. They go above that, they get an incentive.
It's all done on targets. We actually copied the Australian model for tariffs. So the Australians were doing this apparently better than us up to 2011, and Britain wanted to steal a march and become pathfinders in that document you mentioned by Andrew Lansley. And what Britain did is that they included children within this and the disabled. So Australia were already doing it to their elderly. What has happened in the last 3 years under the guise of COVID is that millions, literally millions of English and Welsh and also British people have had cases in Northern Ireland, and I have had cases in Australia as well, actually, Northern Ireland and in Scotland as well, but predominantly in England and Wales. And what they've done is they've added millions. They added 944,000 people, as you mentioned, with just with mildly frail. They equated mildly demented people with who could be perfectly fit and healthy otherwise. I know of a gentleman who could climb the second highest mountain in Britain, Scarfell, 2,700 meters high. But they made him to be mildly frail, and then that justified them giving him involuntary euthanasia. And I'd just like to come in on the term euthanasia. Yes, it's illegal in this country. Every single country that now practices euthanasia, Canada, Belgium, Holland, France, Spain recently, Portugal's going that way. Every single one of them did it illegally first. And Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus from the World Health Organization actively participated in pushing, and he wants every country in Europe to become, and most Western countries to have, assisted dying and euthanasia. That he's not worried about the term euthanasia, but euthanasia means a good death. Now, the original term goes way, way back in time to the Emperor Augustus, and he died in his sleep, aged 75. That's a good death. You die in your sleep. You're not in any pain. Prior to that, he had all his family there the night before. That is a good
death. Stuart, may I just interject here? So technically, in these people's eyes, they're trying to recreate that good death because they're putting you to sleep. They're paralyzing you, actually, because we do know that midazolam is used in anesthesia. It paralyzes you.
But it's
go ahead, Stuart.
What they're doing is it's shortening your breath. It's making your chest unable to breathe, and it will also induce apnea. And people know sleep apnea as being 60 seconds without breath. If it's induced upon you, and we can challenge everybody here in the show to see if they can hold 60 seconds, make sure you're in a well-ventilated area before you try it. But the difference is, if you think you can hold 60 seconds, now do you think you could hold it for 60 seconds when they didn't tell you when to start?
So what that means, people, is they inject the patients, and the patient's diaphragm becomes paralyzed. This actually, midazolam was used as a date rape drug as well, and because you it gives you amnesia, you don't remember what's happening to you. But what that means is you don't get told when you're not going to be able to breathe. Once that drug hits you, you won't be able to breathe. I believe it was a Supreme Court in America who said that they couldn't use this in these executions because it was akin to waterboarding. Is that correct, Stuart?
Yes, that was in 2018, akin to waterboarding. It was also described as air hunger, and also particularly, which is against all human rights, a prolonged torture. So the idea that the nurses and doctors are told it's a silent death, well, they give you hyoscine, which is to quell the death rattle. So it's silent for the people outside listening in. So it's better for the nurses and doctors not to listen to somebody.
So you don't technically hear them being murdered then?
Yes, and also because the people can't reach out, they can't speak, they lose the power of speech as well. So this is never a good death. It's an absolutely cruel thing to do. And it's there was one account, I can't go into the full details for legal reasons, but there was somebody who unfortunately was given these drugs and left to die, who actually went into a coma, and they were transported home in that state only because for religious reasons. And they actually came around. But what's haunting is the account, which I have heard, which is of how they felt being murdered by the state, and being murdered by nurses and doctors that walked in and you could do nothing about it. They'd already given them earlier prescriptions, which had made them unable to speak. They watched these people come in and put more in there, smiling, carrying on their day as normal, and walked out and said things like, that should do it. Now, I've heard
Stuart, may we just pick up on that, Stuart? Can we just pick up on that a minute? For the listeners, these are the people that are entrusted to care for you. The people that we saw dancing on TikTok videos, accepting food parcels, when we were being told that the hospitals were overwhelmed, and they weren't, they were empty. I'm not talking about your regular things, but the hospitals were indeed empty. I think no one can argue with that now. We've seen enough footage. But these are the people, these are the doctors and nurses who are going in and injecting 5 to 7 times the dose of midazolam that has a synergistic effect when it's given with morphine and other drugs, which we'll talk about. And these patients are literally being paralyzed, put into a coma. They're not in any pain because they can't move, to tell you. They're being given a drug which stops them from swallowing their saliva. When you come to the end of your life, naturally, you'll stop swallowing your saliva. And that's where you hear that little rattle as your respirations, you know, you expire. And so they're giving them this together. And they're also giving this in their own homes. It's not just happening in the hospitals and the scare homes. It's happening in their own homes. And I've seen a document from the Welsh paramedics where they can have one phone call from the doctor and they can give this whole concoction of drugs, including the one to dry up the secretions. Would you go as far as to hazard a guess here, Stuart, that that big bolus dose with the hyoscine is for one purpose and one purpose only? It's not to save anybody. It's not to, you know, recover them and get them home. Surely if we're injecting all of our elderly in the care homes, the hospitals, at clinics with this booster shot, number 5 booster shot and the flu shot and the shingle shot and the pneumonia shot, surely we're trying to save our elderly, are we not? So why would we be giving them all of these drugs that are going to literally hasten their death? What is the reason for that, do you think? We seem to have lost Stuart again. Well, let me give you the reason for that. In the UK, we have a planned incentivized euthanasia point system. And each patient, in that palliative care funding review from 2011, it's called the Lansley Report. Please do your due diligence. Go and look online at that palliative care funding review, 2011. You can scroll down to page 64. Here you are. I'm doing your homework for you. Page 64. And you'll come to a box and it gives you demographics of ages. And what it tells you is by the time you get to 65, the death rate by 2031 from 2011 exponentially increases. So ask yourself this, why are they going to be giving all these elderly and vulnerable people, including the young and disabled, why give them all of these booster shots if you're trying to save them and they've estimated that the death is going to increase? It also says just above that box, page 64, that they are going to be incentivizing, that's cash for corpses, and broadening, that's more being put on it, those on palliative care. If you look at all the figures, that means that your bahookie is worth £487. In 2011, you were worth £347. So 180 million they want to save, and they have to kill 750,000. The drugs are now available for this to take place 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year for anyone who's willing to give them. You can phone in for these drugs. It's called the Golden Line. Isn't that nice? The Golden Stairway. I'd like to really call them the new cattle trucks. And it's just a nice little one here. If you go into the hospital, Jeremy Hunt stated that they couldn't tax the rich anymore, so they would tax the elderly again. And they stated that they could draw down to your last 100,000 for all you homeowners. 93% of the care homes in the UK are privately owned by equity companies. One of those companies, the biggest one, is HC1. And they've got their accounts in the Cayman Islands. Of course they have, you peasants. It's not for we, it's only for them. So what happens is the patients go into the hospital and they're kept there. Their liberties are removed because they're a danger to themselves. So even if you want your loved ones home, you can't get them. Then they're going to draw down on their estate. Then they're going to move them out of the hospitals into the care homes. And that's where it's incentivized. They get this extra payment and they get this £3,300. And remember, it was 80,000 or 90,000 were moved from the hospitals into the care homes during those first few months. It's all there for anyone who wants to see it.
Kate, could I just come in there?
Absolutely. Welcome back, Stuart.
The amount of money they're now making, because they've increased it to 750,000, works out, and anybody can do the calculation, it's 487 times 750,000, which everybody knows is £365,250,000. So £365,250,000. To put that into perspective, we're going to spend more on the new Dunkirk immigration centre. That's nearly £500 million.
So that's the one that's replacing Songgat. the one that's replacing Songgat in France, I believe it is. And we are spending, is it 500 million for the processing of and immigrants?
In terms of value, that £487, that's worth less than a third of a beef cow, and it's worth about two pigs in terms of value. That's what our state.
So your behind is worth two pigs. And it's not even worth a nice big beef cow, which I believe is worth about 1,700. You're only worth £487. I hope you're feeling like a very special snowflake today. So what's actually going on here, Stuart? Because we're told that the population isn't going down, that we're now at 69 million when we were at 67 million. But I think that the government, who are indeed the lying lies of lies, and the media are the lying lies of lies, because if you've got a TV now, you need to take yourself in the bathroom and slap yourself. You should be throwing that TV in the bin, and you should, of course, only be listening to TNT. What do you think's going on here, Stuart?
What the government's doing is investing in drugs to kill the elderly to replace non-working people with working age people. It's as simple as that. It's the replacement theory. They don't like hearing it because they know it's true. And this is happening across Western Europe. It's probably happening in Australia as well. It's certainly the goal of it's an ideological goal. And it's similar to the Spartans that you mentioned earlier. And it's the idea that you want everybody to work until they are effectively that they drop. And there's two types of life expectancy. And the life expectancy in the UK has dropped by 2 years in the last 3 years for men, and by 1.4 years for women, and those figures are now out of date. And I suspect when we take the very most recent spike that there's been in death, and bearing in mind those figures I gave you before, which was a baseline, which was that under 7,000 people naturally would die a year, at the peak in the phase one, the morphine and midazolam murders, we can guarantee it was morphine and midazolam because we didn't have a single COVID death until March the 6th over here. But we recorded COVID deaths on coroner's death certificates from February the 6th. And Jonathan Van Tam, Deputy Chief Medical Officer, ran a study on over 20,133. Anybody can read that study. You type his name and 20,133 patients, you'll find the study. But what they showed was these people were being put on end-of-life drugs long before they gave any beneficial treatment. And when they started these protocols off, NG159, which you mentioned, and NG163, they immediately gave drugs which the doctors and the nurses actually really don't know how to use. You mentioned the synergistic effect. They tried to do a study which admitted that 83% of elderly people were being put on these drugs rather than anything beneficial to help their breathing, like budesonide or dexamethasone, things that were known to work, access to oxygen or access to ICU treatments. All of that was stolen from them, and many were, as you say, removed from their beds. They were actually in a hospital bed, taken out of that bed, and put on end of life in a scare home. So
Stuart, I think what's happening here, it's sounding like the hospitals are very dangerous places to go, as are the care homes.
I would honestly not recommend at the moment, unless you if you're having a heart attack or something, the paramedics, could deal with you, although they now carry morphine and midazolam for end of life at 10 milligrams. But what they don't understand, these doctors, is that because of that effect, there's a multiplier effect between these two drugs. They're trying to cheat us and trying to cheat the medical world that people research it, but I go a little bit more in depth than most. And that is that when they give these drugs as an individual drug, you might say 10 milligrams of midazolam. If you combine it with morphine, you have to times that, both drugs, by 1.56. So they did a study and they said it was just within the therapeutic range. So 83% of these people were given 9.5 milligrams. You times that by 1.56, you get 14.82, which is 15 milligrams, which is in the lethal range, particularly in the lethal range to people that are frail and elderly.
Absolutely. So, Stuart, the nurses and doctors, just to interject here, nurses and doctors, you come under your code of professional conduct as nurses. It's illegal to hasten a death in the UK. That means it's murder. And the doctors as well with the GMC code. If you are living and working within the UK. I'm sure it's the same in Australia. I know it's the same in America. I think you have to look back through history, because as we've already talked about the Spartans, eventually, as with Nazi Germany, these regimes do come to an end. And we will always see the who to blame begin. And I will remind you, and I know you don't like it when you hear me say it, nurses, but there was a time in history called Nuremberg, and there were 900 pages in the medical trials of Nuremberg, 8 tons of evidence. Many doctors and nurses went on trial. Many of them went to prison. Many went to prison for life. And many of them were hanged. It might surprise you to know that the laws have not changed. And I always say, use the devil's tool. We have got the mobiles and the internet. So people are going to look up these things. I think it's very difficult for the layperson when their loved one is in hospital. They don't understand the drugs. They don't understand the dosages. But I think you do need to be there.
Can I just
you do need to
for that one
with
point.
Your loved ones.
If you're told by, the nurse and doctor that they will be made comfortable, that is a euphemism for euthanasia. If you can remember that, it's a euphemism for euthanasia. To be made comfortable, it for them is to drug you senseless, stop you from talking, and take away your sanctity of life. And that.
So if you hear the phrase "made comfortable," folks, you need to be looking for the fire exit.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
And the doses that they put in NG163 went from 30 milligrams up to 60 milligrams. You times that by the multiplier effect, because it's mixed with morphine, you get 47 milligrams to 94 milligrams. That is in the lethal range, and that is what they will give your loved one. And that is the
problem, Stuart,
because the doctors and the nurses don't know about these things.
They don't. Well, they need to know, because, of course, in a court
well,
of law,
it's no excuse because they
ignorance is no
that
excuse.
They don't know.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
ignorance
absolutely.
Is no excuse. You are not allowed
The stronger the opioid they mix with it, whether it's dimorphine, alfentanil, or fentanyl, and I heard a fentanyl advert earlier, which was interesting, because a lot of the fentanyl is contaminated that comes from the Indian factories, by the way. But the point is that if you don't know how to use these drugs, you should not mix any fentanyl with midazolam, because it takes just 3 micrograms to activate this negative effect, where you get greater respiratory depressant effect. And that's why people die that are on drugs. But they know that, and there's been studies from as early as 1982 that state that midazolam has this synergistic effect. So there is absolutely no excuse for any doctor or nurse not knowing this. But what they are doing is deliberately ending the life, shortening the life of these people, and that is murder.
It is. Now, Stuart, thank you so much for all your information. I think it's very clear now for everybody out there. You've just heard Stuart Wilkie, who was a medical researcher and does phenomenal research now, talking about how our loved ones are having their lives ended in hospitals and how it's being done. It's being done on the end of a syringe. It's being done with a concoction of drugs. It's being done by removing their food and water, their essential medication. This is what's happening. Now, we also know that the birth rate is going down. We all know about this untested, unlicensed, uninsured, experimental bioengineering injection that's having a profound effect on, appears to be on fertility. It's been found in the semen. But we, you know, this is, like I say, this is nothing new. We can go back, we can look at all of the people that are in power now and how they have some links to University College London, to eugenics. We have Sir Francis Galton from 1883. We have the Galton Institute. Winston Churchill, William Beveridge was a member of the Eugenics Society. Carl Pearson, the Pearson Laboratories at University College London. Andrew Sibinski, who was working with Boris Johnson. Boris Johnson loved him because he loved his ideas. In January and February of 2020, also University College London. George Bernard Shaw, John Maynard Keynes, major economist. Eugenics wear the disguise of geneticists and genomics. And genetics was about who was considered inferior. And this is actually what's going on now. So, people, I don't want you to get, you know, dismayed or upset, because what can you do about it? I don't want to leave everybody going away on a Sunday afternoon when they've listened to my dulcet tones going, we're all doomed. We're not doomed, because history has showed us eventually these regimes will come to an end. History has showed us that it's inbuilt in us to walk in authority. Everybody who knows me knows I'm a Christian, to walk in authority. So how can we ensure that we don't end up in one of their little killing machines? It's just turning into a very big killing machine. We can grow our own food. You don't need much space to do it. When all the food sanctions came in, Gaza, they were growing using aquaponics on their terraces in Gaza. It's amazing what you can grow in small spaces. If they're starting to inject all of the cattle, all of the pigs, everything with this messenger RNA, then that's in the food chain. And down in Argentina, where they had all the beef cattle and they were selling all this meat, they had precocious puberty in children because they needed the animals to have a much bigger yield of meat. They were given growth hormones. And remember, you know, estrogen is a proliferator. And so you've already got all of your synthetic estrogens that are 2,000 times more potent than your natural estrogen. And that's in all your pesticides, your herbicides, your fungicides. Now they're talking about this of making all our crops GMO. I mean, what could possibly go wrong? One study I was reading with this GMO on your foods. By the second generation, you had 40% sterility. Third generation, 100% sterility. I think you're kind of getting the drift here, folks. They're stopping the babies from being born by upping the abortions up to term. They're making people miscarry, spontaneous abortions, which we've seen with these Depop shots. They're cutting down the sperm count. As I would say, if you've got good tadpoles to go, I'd get out there and procreate. Get yourself a good woman that's going to cook and cook you a big breakfast, do your ironing, and she's going to be loyal to you. Get yourself a fella that's prepared to dig the garden, grow the veg, do everything else, stand in front of you, a real man. I love real men. And start having your babies because you're going to need it. And step out of their system, grow your food, start finding your communities. And that's really the only way to go. And the one thing I can guarantee you people is if you look after your health, you're not going to end up needing all of their pharmaceutical drugs. We are always told that things are unavoidable and that they are terminal illnesses like arthritis. Absolutely nonsense. You are what you eat. Today's food becomes tomorrow's cells. No amount of exercise or pharmaceutical drugs are an offset for a poor diet. Top three causes of death are heart disease, cancer, both reversible, both avoidable. And you can step right outside into God's buffet. And of course, pharmaceutical drugs is the third one. I'm just going to say, I'm going to pick you one good thing here for you to look at. And that's water. We were given water. And water is what we all need to survive. We can't survive without water. That's why when you remove a patient's essential food, medication, and water, they will die very quickly. Dying of dehydration is horrific. Well, there have been studies done where drinking lots of water, people drink far too much tea and coffee and soft drinks. They drink up to 4 bottles a day of soft drinks, and that's not really going to help you. It's not real water. And there was a study done at St. Mary's Medical School of London University. Dr. Batman Galigi, they say he wasn't famous, but he was really. And what he did was he discovered that he could reduce the use of drugs for stomach ulcers and asthma in 1981 in a trial of over 3,000 patients with stomach ulcers. 95 out of every 100, their ulcers disappeared simply by drinking 8 to 10 8-ounce glasses of water daily. And he stressed that it was important to drink a glass of water immediately before eating any meal. And as a side effect of his research, with those same 3,000 patients, he discovered that those who had asthma found that it cleared up. How absolutely incredible. So this is all something you should be thinking of doing. Drinking lots of water normalized blood pressure. It cured constipation. These are all things that you could do and make sure it's not your fluoride drinking water. You know, you want to get a distiller or a Berkey water filter or you want to get yourself a zero water jug. Instead of, you know, watching Love Island and paying your Sky Telly and everything else, you can listen to TNT. Just as a little thing I want people to remember before we go, and is that April 11th does mark the four-year anniversary of the arrest of Julian Assange, journalist and publisher. And join activists and supporters from around the world from 4 to 6 p.m. at the Department of Justice on the corner of 10th and Pennsylvania in Washington, D.C. to demand that the charges against Julian Assange are dropped. Because remember, what's happening to Julian Assange is happening to all of us. It is the criminalization of truth, and the world is watching and listening, and the tide is turning. Journalism is not a crime. I myself have been chased down Whitehall, several hundred cops. I was wearing a cape and some stilettos. I was later found guilty, given three criminal charges, paid fines. Why? Because I told the truth. They've raided my home with an unsigned warrant. This has all happened to me. They've removed my nursing license. I don't care. The Nursing and Midwifery Council was taken over by the government in 2001. If you want to be a new nurse, a 21st century nurse, British Nursing Alliance at mail.com. We are setting that up. Find your authority, your God-given authority. Walk in authority, because one voice becomes two, becomes three, becomes four. Go forward, procreate, stand up to this tyranny. Everything is here for us. Jesus tells us to turn it around. Easter is nearly upon us. Stuart, if you're still there, do you have a final word?
Yes. Obviously, I want people to try and keep some positivity about this as well. They need to keep their eyes about them, their ears about them. Try not to take an elderly person into a care home. If you can look after them, look after them at home. That's where they're best loved and cared for and nurtured. And if you can get somebody just to come in and do medical things, stay with them. Don't let them talk to you about end of life. Never agree to a do not resuscitate, because it, unfortunately, it doesn't mean that if your heart stops, they will not work on them. What it actually means is they will stop caring for them at that point. And this is well known within the hospitals. They get taken off access to antibiotics. They get taken off all kinds of beneficial things for them, and they are usually left to die. So never ever agree to a do not resuscitate. That's my final thing. And if you do have to go into hospital, make sure you get food and drink in there if it's an emergency that you have to go in with. Just try and get them back to you, and tell them inside that they have got quality of life, and that you will look after them and you will care for them.
Absolutely. Stuart Wilkie, thank you so much, and thank you for joining us, and I do hope you'll come and join us again. People, the world is yours, and if you are lucky, you will grow old. And that's what I want for all of you. And we need to celebrate our elderly, because traditionally in the villages and small communities, the elderly would look after the children and they would educate them, while the women were preparing the food and in the small vegetable gardens, and the men were out there being men. You didn't see anybody like going down the gym and beasting it and getting a mouthful of turkey teeth veneers that they'd been to Turkey to get, for those of you who don't know, and getting all their tattoos and just prancing around. No, they were real men. And, you know, I love a real man. And this is what you need to do. Walk in authority. Look after your elderly. They've looked after you. You know, we don't get our babies just because they're incontinent and throw them in a nursing home till they stop peeing and pooing, do we? We put a nappy on them and we love them. We have to start loving our elderly again. There is a big turn against the elderly. And like I've said, we're all going to get there soon, absolutely soon. So I think don't be downhearted. I've just told you about water. Today's the day you're going to be starting drinking lots and lots of water. And you're going to be thinking about getting a greenhouse, turning off your TV. You don't need to watch Love Island. And you're going to be thinking, how am I going to grow my fruit and veg? Look at your peppers. Even when you eat your peppers, the ones with the four bulbs at the bottom, they're the ones that will reproduce. You've been listening to TNT Radio Live, and I am your host, Kate Shamarani, exposing medical crimes in tyrannical times. And I hope you're going to join me next week. Get emailing me. I want to hear your stories. I will see you next week with my next guest.